of Genesis. That would be the first book of the Bible, chapter 40 of Genesis. Chapter 40 of Genesis. Anyone else who need a Bible? Okay. Every day, children are aborted. Every day, children are killed, abused, molested, kidnapped. Women's raped. Women raped, get raped and battered and abused. Spouse are abandoned by their unfaithful partners. And the drunk drivers killed bystander, innocent bystander, and fellow drivers, other drivers, or maimed them, and somehow they came out without scratch. Gossip and slander ruined the hard-earned reputation. Fanatic religious terrorists kill and blow up people in the name of their false god. The list can go on. The pain of unjust suffering is one of the most awful things can endure. During the fiery trials, some will hate God, some will have a bitter heart, and their life will turn into ashes. During these fiery trials, some other people, others, become they get to have unshakable and tempered faith, and they run close to God and seek God's face. And they get to know the heart of God. It's been said everything can be taken away from a man, but except one thing, the freedom of choice. Freedom of choice to choose what kind of attitude we can have. We can be bitter or we can be better. We can be the one who say yes to God, run to God, or we can be the one whose life is turning into ash. We cannot control what kinds of treatment we are going to get today, this afternoon, or tomorrow. But I guarantee you, we have complete control of what kinds of response we are going to hand out. We can choose to do right things, or we can choose to do wrong things. There is a bitterness and hostility and revenge and the resentment. That's the choice we can choose from. Or we can say yes to God and learn from that situation. It's a difficult choice. And the people in the world will do the resentment or hostility. But children of God, God, our Father, expect us to do different things. Is it easy? No, it's not. Is it worth it? Yes. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you again and seeking your face to learn from this man, Joseph, who went from the free man to the slave. And now he is in prison. Let us learn from him that we may know your heart and we may be prepared for the time comes we will choose right way, your way. We also lift up our troops and within our country and around the world, our law enforcement and our firefighters around this community. We are asking your blessing upon them and safety and protection for them. And we ask you to guide them. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Joseph did what is right in the sight of God. When he was sold as a slave to the Mr. Potiphar, and he didn't fight against God, he tried to make the best of it. And the Mrs. Potiphar made the sexual advance. He ran away from her. And all of a sudden, she concocted some false rape charge, and he ended up in the prison. Somehow, we noticed that his freedom is slipping away from, again, I said before, free man to the slave and slave to the prison inmate. Seems like he was forgotten by God and forgotten by the man. Now he's facing the greatest test of all. He could exercise any only freedom left on him. He could respond to be bitter, or he could respond to make himself better in God. I find the three basic mistreatment. Number one is undeserved treatment from family. You could have a best family, but the parents is not perfect. Certainly your brother and sister is not perfect. Ask me, because I used to think my brother was Satan himself. Second aspect I find is, second point of the mistreatment is unexpected restriction from circumstance. Mistreatment sometimes confines us to in the physical way or emotional way. Sometimes we cannot respond. And it seems like there's nothing you can do about it. It is very hard to deal with that kind of thing. When you cannot respond, you cannot make the situation better. In one day, unexpected restriction is painful. Third aspect I find is untrue accusation from people. Some of you guys, just about every one of us, has been in the receiving end of the vicious and untruthful gossip. You know what I'm talking about. It's one thing to spread a gossip. It seems like it's fun. But when we receiving end of the gossip, it's not fun. That kind of untrue and vicious gossip can ruin the hard-earned reputation that years to rebuild it back, if that's possible. If you ever wonder, the Bible ever talks about the true story and the life, real life story, I think you can remove any doubt when you read the story of Joseph. Seems like the situation gets from bad to worse, and then worst. Before it become better, he had to come down to the bottom of the pit. He was accused falsely, and now he ended up in prison. Once again, Joseph was thrown from the privileged position to the pit. Yes, he was thrown into the dry well in Dothan. This time, he was thrown into the dungeon of Egypt without any release date. This kind of thing will not work in America, because in America, you have to know the release date, or at least they got to give you some date. In Egypt or in the Middle East or any other time except modern day, they don't have to give you any release date. They just throw you in the prison, and if they want to kill you, they kill you. There is no such a thing as ACLU anyway. Who want them anyway? After all, what Joseph has done, he was in prison. It seems like nothing works. And God forgot about him. Is it? Did he forgot about him? And Joseph could say, "Why, God? Why are you doing this to me? Where are you in the midst of this? What have I done against you?" He hasn't done anything against him. But this thing is happening because God has a greater purpose. Let's pick up the verse from verse 1 of chapter 40. It came to pass after these things that the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, and chief butler and chief baker. So he put them in the custody of the house of the captain of the guard in the prison, the place where Joseph was confined. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and so they were in the custody for a while. It's usually easy to see the hand of God when the good things happen in your life and my life. But we have to wonder if God ever hang around with us when the bad things happen. See, obviously, we noticed that when Joseph was thrown in the prison and the jail keeper noticed the hand of God on this man, everything he does is good, and everything he does well. So He left everything in the hand of God. And I won't be surprised that if this is the only prison inmate who carried the entire prison keys on his belt. He was completely in charge. The first and foremost thing about Joseph is a trust in God. In the midst of a difficult time, he had a complete trust in God. Joseph could see, instead of looking at this situation as another rejection from God, he looked at it as another opportunity for God to use this situation to make him to be better. Again, he made a choice to be better instead of being bitter. Folks, nobody can take that away from you. It's your choice. You can choose to be bitter, or you can choose to be better. Verse 5. Then butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, had a dream, both of them, each man's dream in one night, and each man's dream with its own interpretation. And Joseph came in to them and in the morning and looked at them and saw that they were sad. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in the custody of his lord's house, saying, "Why do you look so sad today?" And they said to him, "We each had a dream, and there is no interpreter of it." So Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretation belong to God? Tell them to me, please." It would be easy for Joseph to think that this time, since he is in depression, he could be in depression. He could say, "Well, I don't care about other people." He could be very cynical for everything and everyone. But he chose to care about other people. When was the last time you were in this kind of situation, you thought about other people's and then put other people's before your own? It's not that easy, because we consider ourselves most important. That's a common. That's a natural. But while we're going through a difficult time, look others. Look at other people. As a matter of fact, one of our congregation, don't look around. I'm not going to tell who that person is. That person was going through depression. And I suggest to that person, why don't you serve others? And you will come out of that depression faster. And that person tried. And it worked. So whenever you're going through depression, instead of looking into your own situation, look at other people. While you're doing that, you're the one who's going to get blessed. Okay, talking about dream. Joseph is saying that the interpretation of dream belongs to God, because God is the one who gives us wisdom. And he is giving credit to the way it belongs to God. Dreams. I have dreams, and I'm sure you guys get dreams too. In my case, most of the time it's a wild dream, and I have no idea where they're coming from. Don't depend on the dream so much, because you read in the Bible. You can have some funny dream, weird dreams, because when you have too much pizza and funny enchilada. Okay? Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 7. Are you there yet? For in a multitude of dreams and many words, there is also vanity. What's the next word? But fear God. Okay? Mark that place, please. So you don't depend on the dream so much. Okay? Let's go back to chapter 40, verse 9 in Genesis. 40, verse 9. And the chief butler then told his dream to Joseph and said to him, "Behold, in my dream a vine was before me, and in the vine was the three branches. It was as though it budded. Its blossom shot forth, and its cluster brought forth ripe grapes. Then Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed it into the Pharaoh's cup and placed it in the cups of Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said to him, this is the interpretation of it, three branches are 3 days, and now within 3 days, Joseph, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your place. And you will put the Pharaoh's cup in his hand according to the former manner when you were his butler. But remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me and make a mention of me to Pharaoh, and get me out of this out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews, and also I have done nothing here that they should put me into this dungeon. No doubt that this would be exciting news for the butler. And Joseph sees the possibility of something good for himself for change in this prison. Now we can see that Joseph is not some pristine saint whose feet never touch the ground. He is a flesh and blood. This is the only time I see it, this time and when he was 17 years old, when he was bragging his dream to his brothers. That's the only two glitches I see in his life. Other than that, he has a very godly life. Verse 16. Then when the chief baker saw the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, I also was in my dream. There were three white baskets on my head, and in the outermost basket were all kinds of baked goods from Pharaoh, and the birds ate them out of the basket on my head. So Joseph answered and said, and this is the interpretation of it, the three baskets are 3 days, and within 3 days Pharaoh will lift off your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the bird will eat your flesh from you. Joseph was faithful to deliver the bad news as well as good news. This is a great mark of a preacher. Nowadays, it seems like preachers are literally enraged to one another. They were willing to give out Chief Butler's sermon, good sermons, good messages, happy messages. But they are not willing to give out Chief Baker's sermon. In other words, when the preacher is bringing out the conviction through the Holy Spirit to the congregation, he rather not do it. If you're looking for a church, please listen carefully, please. This is not an advertisement. If you're looking for a church, you look for the church where the preacher will give you the whole counsel of God from the Word of God itself. Not pick and choose and trying to make you feel good when you walk out the door. The Word of God will not make you feel good all the time. It will encourage you. It will convict you. If the preacher is afraid of to tell people about the truth because he wants the nose and candy, that's what the preachers call nose, individual people, and nickels, the money. They want the money and they want the people so they can boast about how big their church is. Look for the church where they teach the Word of God as is, not candy-coated. Folks, nowadays, as the Word of God says, in the later days, people will heap up the teachers who will tickle their ears. Don't go there. Verse 20. Now, it came to pass on the third day, it was the Pharaoh's birthday, and he made a feast for all his servants. And he lifted up the head of the chief butler and the chief baker among his servants. Then he restored the chief butler and his butlership again. He replaced the cup in the Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. 3 days later, everything happened exactly as Joseph interpreted. I'm sure that Joseph was thinking, wow, this really came to true. So he was mentally thinking, all right, I can pack my bag. this guy is going to go out and tell the Pharaoh about me and convince him to get me out of this joint. So he was packing up in his head. Only problem is, Chief Butler has one problem. He had a short memory. So what happened? He was forgotten. God is going to use his Chief Baker's short memory, but not this time, later. There's two important observations we should make about this Joseph situation. Number one, he was abandoned by friends. If the enemy abandoned you or me, it's understandable. We expect that. But friend is not supposed to abandon us. Some of you may go through the exact same problem. You pour your heart to this person's life and you wanted to share your life with that person. You've been with that person. And all of a sudden that person said, bye-bye, and taking off with this somebody else. And there's that famous D word, divorce. You didn't expect this thing when you get married. But it happened. Or you trusted this man or woman as a business partner. So you start business together. And company was doing very well. All this time, you did not know what's going on, but that person was siphoning out the company profit. And all of a sudden, he left you high and dry with a gigantic debt. What happened? What's this abandonment? This kind of thing cut you deeply and hurt you exceedingly. You may think that the wound will never going to heal. You may think that you will never be loved again. You will never get back to your own feet again. Think again. Take a heart in God. Because he knows what's going on exactly. He will bring you up to the place where he can use you again. He will strengthen you. He will encourage you. He will make you to be the man or woman he wants you to be. He will restore you to the place and all the locusts at that precious time or whatever the precious memory, God will restore that. Don't think that he cannot do it. He is, after all, God. Beyond your wildest imagination. Second point I'd like to see is abandonment was a lengthy period of time. 2 years. 2 long years. Butler did not remember him. Sometimes you go through and you're thinking, when this ever going to end? I don't know when the time is right in God's eyes. Our natural response is if we are abandoned by somebody for even a minute, we get antsy. We get disillusioned and we feel like betrayed. And we want to repay them with some sort of the hostility. And God says no. He said, do not pay back evil for evil. Jesus understands this kind of abandonment on the cross, remember? When all of our sin dumped on him, remember the word from his mouth? My God, why have you forsaken me? In other words, Father God literally abandoned his son. They had a perfect relationship. Because your sin and my sin came dumped on him, God had to turn his back away from him. Why did he do that? So we don't have to be abandoned by God when we refuse him. Some of you don't know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. You refuse him time after time after time. They will come to the point you will no longer hear from him. There's a place of no return. God does not abandon you. If you refuse him, you abandon God. So God is simply making the fact known to you. It is true. Everything can be taken away. Everything can be stripped away from us. But one thing cannot be stripped away from us. The freedom of choice to choose how we are going to respond in the situation. We'll make one application. The next time you feel forgotten, forsaken, and disillusioned, remember that there's one who is trustworthy. That's Jesus Christ. His promise is he will never leave you nor forsake you. I have 8 verses for your further study, so I'm going to ask you to write it down and take a look at it. There'll be a time you will say, well, I'll never go through this kind of difficulty. I guarantee you, you will go through the difficulty. Jesus promised that if you are a child, if you are following mine, you might go through it. He didn't say that. You will go through. This verse might keep you alive. Jot them down, please. Deuteronomy 31:6. Isaiah 42:16. Psalm 37:3-6 and 28. Matthew 28:20. Psalm 118:5-9. Am I going too fast? Oh, I thought he's going to display all of it. Okay, just write him down. Hebrews 13:5. Proverbs 3:5-6. 1 Peter 5:6-7. Do I need to go back or start again? Oh, there he is. Write him down. Take your time to write him down. I never thought that I would be in that situation. You know, some of the when we are going through school, and teacher says, write him down. I'm not going to write him down. Unless you have a great memory, you better write him down. If you have an IQ 150, you can just look at it and memorize him. I don't. Why do you think I carry this thing? Because I have a green belly moment so often. While you're writing down, listen up, please. Some of you might go through this kind of difficulty right now. Oh, you will. Some of you think that I cannot bear this. I cannot take this anymore. God will not give you more than what you can handle. That's a promise. And on top of all, God will give you the way of escape. So listen carefully, please. If you're going through that kind of difficult time, we'd like to pray for you. You don't have to do anything. We don't have to know what you're going through. We just want to come alongside and pray for you. All you have to do is just raise your hand right where you are. It's not any shame. It's okay to go through a difficult time. All of us go through a difficult time. If you're going through a difficult time, raise your hand. Okay. Keep your hands up, please. All right. For those who are around, those people who raise your hand, go around, go there, go near, and put your hands down and pray. Start to pray for them. You don't have to pray aloud. Okay? Take time to go over there. Come on, move around. Those who are going through difficult time, raise your hand again. Okay, pray for each other. All right. If you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, guess what? You don't have a hope. Jesus is the strength. If you don't know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, you don't have that strength you can withdraw. I'd like to introduce where you can find the hope and strength and shelter. If you don't know Jesus, today is the day for you to come to know Him. Anyone who would like to receive Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior, raise your hand, please. Anyone? Okay, let's stand up and pray.